Ladies and gentlemen, in the blue corner, standing at a sleek 5'11", 245 pounds, the tumultuous tempest of technique, Thomas Lilly. And in the red corner, at a curvaceous 5'11", 315 pounds, the jovial juggernaut of judgment, John Cheryl Sheridan. A meeting of the masters of mastication. Turn your attention as they delve deep into all things lifting and more. This is Peak Speak.
I can confirm that my voice is
svelte
and not like last week.
I definitely got a little bit louder when you started recording there.
Don't, now you're making me paranoid. I'm no, sure, judging by the little woo wave things that were
all forms. Good. Yeah, the fair enough. Forms. Life is good then.
It is very good. What's happening?
It is the end of week two of the apocalypse. So far, I feel like I have resisted the temptation to cry better this week than I did last week. But otherwise, life's pretty good. It's fucking wet and rainy in Canberra, which is just always a bit miserable, but sometimes nice.
I'm desperate for it to pour with rain here because I cleaned out my clogged gutters that have coincidentally been clogged for 10 years. And I have the scars all over my hands to show. No, wait, they peeled off this morning. Yeah, one thing I hate doing is like man house stuff and... I
don't think it's specifically man house stuff. I think it's just house stuff, Thomas.
Yeah, it's house stuff that my dad taught me that I've never followed.
Oh, so dude, I have the handyman skills of like two bricks and a bag of sand. Yeah. I feel exactly the same way. We like cleaned out our shed and we just threw a bunch of stuff out.
Let me continue with my toxic masculinity rampage. I cleaned out my gutters and then I installed a new security light. Very dangerous having an unqualified man playing around with the electricity in his house.
Yeah.
But no one's dead yet, so we're kind of winning.
That's where I draw the line at fucking with stuff. I'm willing to give most things a try and like... I have no skills and like enough of a she'll be right attitude to kind of bodge up most things. I draw the line electricity. I'm not fucking with electricity because I don't want to kill myself.
I'm confident with wiring and electricity. I've done quite a bit of that in my time fixing water coolers. But
I did not know you spent time fixing water coolers.
I did. That was my job when I reopened the gym, driving forklifts, fixing water coolers.
I'll do it.
Building things, knocking things together, using hammers and screws and tools and timbers is not my forte.
Oh, neither is it mine, but it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was the most irrelevant introduction to a Peak Speak I think we've done in some time.
Yeah, and the most sexist.
From your end, I'd like to clarify that I came in on the mid-ground of that, where we should be.
Yeah, I am being completely facetious, by the way.
Yeah, no, I know. I know that. But that's because I can see you, and I know you very well. Your webinar thing, let's talk about that, because that'll start tomorrow, won't it? If this episode comes out on Monday?
Oh, yes. I was like, wow. What? Tomorrow? Tomorrow's Saturday, but yeah, you're completely right.
Future-proofing, Thomas. Future-proofing.
I just... I have been racking my brains as to what I can do for people because I just want to be... want to feel useful. Like, I was talking to a client this morning, one of my mentoring clients, about this sudden shift that we have, and we'll segue back via this later. The sudden shift that we have as skilled individuals without a great deal of outlet for that skill, you kind of enter this phase of feeling a little bit useless.
Yeah.
And I wanted to try and feel useful, and I wanted to do it without the cost of the people who have lost their income essentially. So I'm doing these free webinars twice a week. One webinar is going to be coach development content. So it's going to kind of be a fast-tracked, I don't want to say watered down, but a lighter version of what I take people through in the coach development system that I run as part of my job. Alternating with just interviewing key players that people want to listen to. So I've sent out a questionnaire to everyone. But I was shocked, man.
I had fun filling out that questionnaire.
I can tell all the answers from people that I know personally. I was shocked. I was really only expecting 30 or 40, 50 tops people to fill in the form and to submit their emails and interest for this. And I'm getting close to 400 now. It's kind of blown up. So if you're interested in this, just head to the Zero Weakness Instagram page. The link's in the bio there, or you can message me directly. I just need your email address so I can add you to the meeting when I go live on Tuesday. They'll be recorded, they'll be uploaded in a Google Drive so people can watch them for free afterwards. That's pretty much it.
That's really awesome, man. I have a lot of respect for you in giving up your time like that. And this is all, information that I know you charge a lot of money for. And that's not because you're a money hungry grub, but instead because you actually just have to be able to make a living.
Yeah.
But it's always cool to see people giving back to the community like that. And I think it's been really interesting to see the spectrum in the fitness industry of people who have gone from whatever their one-on-one PT job was or whatever it is to immediately trying to sell a bunch of at-home stuff, and they've tried to pivot really quickly. And look, if that's your jam, then that's your jam. But I think it's also cool to see a lot of people giving out a lot of stuff and just making it all easier to access and all of those sort of things. I think there's a lot of value in that.
Yeah, I mean, like, and I'm not... I completely understand these people are just hitting the panic button and they're like, I gotta make money somehow. And so they're spamming online services and all this sort of stuff. I can completely empathize with that. Like, people are trying to make a living. It's just so funny now. We've got this paradigm of an oversaturation of people offering online services that have never really done it before. And it's like, how do you expect to compete with the established online brands? The best thing you could have done is do that model for your clients, which I'm sure they have done. But now it's like, oh, I got to find more people. And the only way you can find them is online for the time being. I mean, it's not just this industry and it's not just this one example. No, we've hit the panic button on so many things. I've had so many people immediately kind of quit their job or ask to be made redundant so they can go on Job Seeker, and then JobKeeper came out. And now it's like, oh, if I have my job, I can, it's just like... And it's such an interesting time to be in, because there's an element of like, you kind of almost have to panic if you're living week to week and you've got no solid income. You have to do something. You have to survive.
Yeah, man, exactly. And I think there's a lot of people who are going to be in that situation. And it's, it's really one of a kind in terms of or at least it's shaping up to be one of a kind in terms of, the known lifetime. There hasn't been an event like this certainly in our lifetimes and perhaps in the lifetimes of our parents. So I think it's very interesting. And to be honest, I think we talked about it last week. The people that come out the other side in our industry, but I think in any industry, are going to be the ones that played the long game regardless, and we're able to do things not just in a scrambly, fuck, we've got to get this done now because otherwise we don't eat kind of a way, because there's definitely merit to that. I also think there's merit to slowing down a little bit and taking this opportunity to consolidate a little bit and refine things. And then when we're ready to go again, because we will, we'll all go back to a relatively normal life. It might not be for 6 or 12 months, but our gym will open again. People will bring all the equipment back, and if they don't, I fucking know where they live. It'll come back. And so I think there's value in both ends of being able to flip and make some money and be able to make a living, but also to know that your physical gym's not going to die completely if you look after it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so coming back to that idea of being stuck in this space and being someone with skill that all of a sudden feels completely inadequate and useless, and it's so easy to have this reality of everything's normal, and then in these 2 weeks having that flipped completely and now being in this new reality, it's so easy to switch your mindset, being like, this is life now, you know, kind of rationalizing, being like, no, it's just the old life is kind of on pause for the time being. The immediate inclination when you are people of our position, or people who are, you know, skilled people that make their living dealing with individuals and providing the service, the skill to others, is we're driven, right? You become a business owner because you want to move forward, and you move forward by working hard and putting one foot in front of the other and always trying to, you know, take that next step. And while you're in pause mode, like we are now, there's still that tendency there. You still want to, like, you have this momentum and you want to keep it up. So you're trying to find other ways. And it can be a little bit of a tumultuous period, not just from a business perspective, but especially mentally. Including if you're not a business owner, even just as a lifter, you know, losing that access to the equipment, losing that access to your training community, it's a really tumultuous period mentally. And that's kind of what we wanted to segue into and talk about today. Yeah
man, I've noticed it myself. Even just fucking like scrolling through Facebook makes me anxious. Like, I have to put my phone in a different room, and this is something I probably should have been doing for years, but like, I've had to have dedicated time where I put my phone away, because otherwise I'm just anxious all the time, because like some new update's happening or something's changing or all of these things. And I think it's such a rapidly evolving situation that it's really hard to not get hooked into the cycle of like, fuck, I've got to stay up to date and I've got to stay in front of things. And yeah, you forget the time to slow down a little bit. And potentially, if you've lost access to your gym or your training options, that time to slow down was training, you know. And I think it is often touted that training is therapy, and I think I, like 5-10 years ago, I would have told you training's my therapy. As a more mature adult, I realize that training's not therapy. Training is perhaps therapeutic, but it is not the same thing as going to actually talk to someone about your problems like an adult.
I
no longer believe that, but I think it's that thing that we've all seen, you know, people like you and I who have been coaching for a long time and built a facility that for a lot of people becomes that third place. You know, everyone has home and work, and there's a third place, and if that third place is your gym, I think, like, A, it's a really cool privileged position to be in. You know, like, we had people when we were emptying the gym in tears because they've come in and seen a sign on the door that says the gym's closed until further notice, and that caused a breakdown. And it's not that it's closed forever, but things have changed so rapidly, and so I think it's really easy to fall into this trap of this becoming a really dark and sort of hard period for everyone. And from a training perspective, if you've lost everything that you had in terms of going to a place and lifting following a particular program or doing something like that, you know, it's very easy to feel lost and to not be able to get that therapeutic benefit anymore.
Yeah. I think one thing we haven't prefaced yet is, of course, we're not mental health specialists.
No. If anything, the opposite.
I'm the complete opposite. Like, shout out to my partner, Sarah, who works in mental health and has for basically her entire adult life. Like, her job is like, if John heard that shopping bag in the background of his video talk to him and tell him to fly to Queensland and kill me, and then he went to prison, her job is to, when he comes out on early release because he's mental, to fit him back into society. So she deals with some pretty full-on cases and some pretty full-on people, and it's an art. Like, she's next level skill when it comes to mental health, and I admire that so very, very much. I am not that. However, in the space of training, you know, I've got a great deal of experience, not only rationalizing mentality with myself as both a coach and an athlete, but with many, many, many other athletes as well. I want to come back to that idea of training being therapy. And first thing I want to say is that there's obviously many, many layers to the idea that training is therapy.
Yeah.
Because the actual act of lifting weights in itself probably isn't that therapeutic. It's probably more the escape from reality for a couple of hours a few times a week. Or that might be one thing. If you go then and train alone and find that you don't have the same effect, it might be what John's talking about with that concept of the third place and having that community and that family around you. And this is going to be the hard thing if you don't have access to your community, is how do you access them? Do you need to set up some sort of alternative to remain linked in with that community in the interim? And B, if the actual act of training is your therapy, is there something that can create a similar effect by filling that void of time, by giving you an outlet of being able to escape for a couple of hours and have that meditation? So for me, I would liken training more to brushing my teeth or wearing underpants. It's like it's not a conscious choice that I make each morning. It's just what I do.
I thought you were going to say optional.
No, wearing underpants is not optional. I can't do free bowling and I can't sleep naked. It's just I need the support and the
really safety. I agree with you on the free bowling thing. That's not my jam, but I sleep naked 365 days a year. Very occasionally, when it's cold in winter, I put on socks.
See, I can't do socks. Socks are too constrictive. I feel like I'm in foot prisons.
My feet get cold. Anyway, that was a weird segue.
The idea that training is something that I actually reach out to for some sort of therapy doesn't bode with me, because it's just what I do. You know, it's not necessarily an option. I don't look for it. It's just part of my routine and part of my life, and has been for a long time. Whereas for me, my walking in the morning, walking buddy, is very much that time where I'm alone, I'm by myself, I'm fresh, I'm first thing out of bed, I can think, I can meditate. Like, I consider that my meditation. And I believe that a lot of people have training as that meditation time.
Yep. Like,
rather than the actual act of lifting weights, because think about your average training session, most of the time you're just sitting there.
Yeah.
It's more that time to escape life, to focus on the task at hand, which isn't something that you have to do. It's not your job that you have to do to make income. It's not cooking your food that you have to do to survive. It's a choice. It's a choice that you want to do, and it's an inviting choice.
And it's something that you can control. I think that's one of the things that that links into that idea of it being a choice, is that it's something that you control. It's something that almost always what you get out of it is a direct reflection of what you put into it. Whereas, you know, sometimes in work life, in family life, you can put in the lion's share of the effort and perhaps not get the rewards that you think you deserve, at least. And that, I think, idea of control and having that thing that you can control for a lot of people, like, ripped away from them, has been really hard. But I think you can also find outlets, like you said, like that, that are similar but different. You know, from a training standpoint, I've always got a lot out of a session where there's a lot of people around and the music is loud and everyone's lifting heavy. Like, I fucking love that shit. Because I almost grew up on it, you know. I lifted in high school where that was what it was about. It was going to lift with the boys, and then it was playing footy, and then it was training for powerlifting in a little garage gym, you know. That's a really cool environment. That's the third place for me, at least. And then only as I've matured as a person have I found the love for doing it by myself without the music, without the mental psych upside. It is much more of a meditative, calm and methodical approach to things. Some of the most therapeutic training sessions I've ever had have been in the gym, empty, with no music on, by myself in like the middle of the day when no one's around, and I can actually switch from work mode into meditation mode. And for me, that's been the hard thing with training in my own gym, is sometimes when you're looking for the therapeutic benefit, it's hard to do that when you're also at work. In the last handful of weeks, despite a brief interlude with snapping a piece of bike in half, I've taken to riding a mountain bike as my get out of the house exercise, initially I tried riding like with headphones in, listening to music, because that's what I like to do, and I found it really fucking scary. I had to take the music out because I couldn't focus on what I was doing. And now I've been going for, you know, an hour and a half worth of riding through trails and stuff like that, and had a really awesome time trying not to kill myself on a mountain bike. And I found that super beneficial from a mental health standpoint for exactly the same reason you're talking about, you know, walking the dogs. It's a little bit harder because I often walk the dogs while also walking a toddler, and it's not quite as therapeutic as just walking by yourself. But for me, that time by myself, and it's that time for introspection that I've seen Luke Tulloch post a bunch of this stuff recently on the, you know, the powers of introspection and time to yourself, where you're not just consuming stimulus all the time. There is that time, like you said, if it's walking your dogs, it's not listening to music, it's just walking the dog. You're just doing that thing. For me, it's been riding a bike. For others, it might be cooking, or it might be something like that, where actually you just turn the music off and just let your mind kind of wander and do the thing that you're doing. I think a lot of people haven't tried that from a training standpoint, and I think now is the perfect time to experiment with something like that, because training's not going to be the same, regardless of how impressive your home gym setup is. It's not going to be the same as training at the gym you're used to training at, unless of course you're used to training at home, then fucking keep going, do your thing.
You hit the nail on the head when you spoke about control, and I think this is going to be the hardest thing. This is where it's going to lead into more tangible stuff for the listeners, is that you know, like, what can people take away from this conversation? It's that if your control has been removed from you, it doesn't mean that you still don't have control. It just means you've lost control over that one particular thing.
Yeah.
You know, you have to figure out now, what was it about training that made you tick? Was it the community? Was it the aspect of escaping? Was it the actual act of lifting weights? And you're just going to have to find some sort of alternative, as much as it can seem impossible to do that, because your immediate inclination is going to be to replace what you had with exactly the same thing.
Yes.
It's like, how can I replace lifting at Burley? I don't have the people and the equipment. It's like, okay, you're going to have to try and figure out how you can emulate that to some extent, or take bits of what was the most therapeutic thing to you out of that and emulate that somewhere else. And a big part of that is regaining control over something else. So if it was the time to yourself, go for a walk, go for a bike ride, go do something active, go learn how to cook, learn how to play an instrument, learn how to speak a new language, find a new challenge, because this is temporary. And if you need to fill that void, you're going to have to find out what ticks for you. I mean, I was never a believer in the psychology process until I went through a whole heap of shit in 2018 and actually started seeing a psych. And the biggest benefit you get from seeing a psychologist, in my opinion, is learning more about yourself and how you tick and understanding yourself, and so you can do things like this. I mean, this is a unique forced opportunity on us where we can get introspective, can think about, okay, what makes us tick? What do we need to calm our mind, to meditate, and try different strategies to figure that out? Because chances are your training is going to get interrupted again somewhere down the line. You might have a child, you might have a breakdown in a relationship, you might have a serious injury where you can't train. You're going to need to figure out some way to be able to fill that void and be able to meditate and be able to take care of your mental health. You can't rely on having training as everything. This is just an unfortunate forced opportunity to work on that.
Yeah, and I think if you take the right mindset through something like this, it can be a really beneficial thing. You know, it can be that time to explore different things. We've definitely talked about it in various ways over the last couple of years. Excuse me. But that idea of like identity and training being your identity, and that being a really potentially toxic approach to things, where times like these you end up with an identity crisis, because suddenly you're not a power lifter anymore. You're a guy who has two kettlebells and a band at home, and you're not competing for the next 6 to 12 months. You know, it's suddenly a very different environment. So I've always been a fan of like having hobbies. You know, my life revolves around strength training, and I own a gym and that sort of thing, but I have other facets to my my person that, and other things that ignite my curiosity and give me something to learn and something to do and explore new areas. And I think it's a really powerful way to be able to learn, like you said, something about you, but learn it through a completely different vehicle. And yeah, it just might be a bit different for a while.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I wasn't trying to come across as, okay, well, it's too bad, so sad. Trust me, I get it. I'm a lifter first.
Like, yeah, 100%.
I've lost my, I don't even know if it's a third place for me. It's like one of my first places.
Yeah, man, exactly.
I've lost that. I've lost my extended family for the time period, for the time being. I've lost the people I get to interact with every day. I've lost training with my crew that I like to train with every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. You know, I've lost that intermittently. I guess what I'm saying is, like, take it from me. I've been here plenty of times before. I've trained in a whole bunch of different environments that have changed over the years. I've had extended periods of time off with injuries and surgeries. I know what it's like, and I know how quickly it can turn sour if you don't figure out a way to find out what your true aspect of meditation was and figure out a way to fill that in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, man, it's a really, really steep, dark spiral if you let it become that. And that's where I think there's some value in being able to slow down and just, like, take a minute to breathe and realize that, like, even if you missed a week of training and you didn't do anything last week, that, like, you're not that much weaker. And yeah, like, maybe at the end of this period you'll come in and you will be a little bit weaker and you'll have to rebuild to where you were. But hopefully in that time you learn a thing or two about how your body moves or how you connect with your body or how you feel mentally when you're not training, and then you can come back with a better tool set for what you want to achieve. I think there's a lot to be learned through a period like this, but you have to be willing to learn. And some people are too caught up in complaining about what they've lost and are therefore unwilling to learn.
There's going to be so much to look forward to returning as well. Like, any negativity that you were finding in training is going to disappear the moment that you get to walk back into your third place.
Yep, 100%.
Your vigor for training, your vigor for progress is just going to be reignited completely. You're going to feel like you felt the first time you hit a PB or the first time you did your first powerlifting comp and you were so excited to do the next one. That's what it's going to feel like returning to this.
Yeah, man.
And it won't take long to find your skill again, to get back to where you were.
No, because yeah. if you come through the other end of this period and you're still ready to get back in the gym, you'll be, like you said, just fucking frothing over the idea of getting back under a bar and being able to do the things that, you know, perhaps 6 weeks ago you were complaining about. You know, like, suddenly all that squat volume seems like something maybe you're looking forward to. Yeah, I think most people will come out of this the other side, and 2 to 3 years from now, those that are still going to be around in powerlifting, which, you know, in most cases we already know who those people are because we've been around for long enough to see the people that are going to stick through this and are going to come out the other side, they'll look back on it and be like, oh yeah, it was a really good learning experience. Yeah, and they're the ones that 5 years from now will still be lifting and still making progress. I think there will definitely be an attrition of powerlifters and competitive lifters of all sorts over the next 2 to 3 years. It's people that don't see this as an opportunity and that can't see through the disappointment of losing something like that, and instead they get stuck in whatever it is that they're dealing with rather than looking at it as an opportunity to go out and to do other things and learn something new and challenge yourself in new ways.
For sure. For sure. Like, I mean, as hard as this is going to be in terms of adjusting to this this new temporary reality, we have to exercise you know, some degree of positivity in this, and look for the benefits of being in this situation. Look for now the time that you get to spend with your family and with your loved ones, or look at now the time you get to dedicate to reforming systems in your business and making sure that everything is ready to withstand the return to the old reality, or the new reality, what it looks like after this period is up. It's a hard thing to exercise that positivity mindset, but it's really all we can do right now.
Yeah, man, and I think it's important to state that, like, I don't know about you, but I fucking have real hard time keeping that positive mindset over the last couple of weeks at various points. I think I can talk a good game on a podcast, but this is 40 minutes of my time across a whole week. Like, it's pretty easy to turn a good, happy face on for a little bit. It's going to be fucking hard for all of us. And yeah. I think that's the thing that I've realized and I've watched in our community, like our members, has been that everyone sort of banded together and we've everyone's realized, like, we're all fucking in this together, and everyone's maybe in a little bit different circumstance. Some obviously are doing it much harder than others because they've lost jobs or income streams in various forms, but it's all going to suck for everyone, and it's not a competition. Just because one person has lost their job and lost their training doesn't mean that you, as someone who still has a job and maybe has access to a barbell, is any, like, yeah, it doesn't have to be a competition. You're allowed to be upset about this, but just try not to spend your whole time being upset about it, because it's not very productive.
Yeah. We're all on the same roller coaster, and if we're all on the same roller coaster, it means that some people are going to experience the highs first and the lows second, and vice versa. But essentially, we're all on the same ride, and we're all on the same journey, which thankfully all has the same endpoint as well. So if we can just kind of stick this out and find strategies to I guess coddle our mentality through this, you'll be fine. And it's only temporary. It's not going to be very long. It's a blip in the radar of your life and of your training life. And of course, that's a lot easier said than done.
Yeah, well, it's certainly a lot easier when you've got a 15 plus year training experience behind you. But yeah, we'll come through it. It'll be okay. And hopefully in the interim, we'll all learn a thing or two.
Anything else you want to say on?
No, I think that kind of covers it.
Training.
We spoke about this. Who knows about it, but
yeah, we're both thinking the same thing. We're going to get someone on the podcast who can actually speak to this a little bit more professionally than us.
Yes,
I think we both.
In the scheme of things, we are just powerlifting coaches.
Yeah. And with that is the bias to, you know, if someone comes to you with a foul mentality around lifting, our job is to rationalize, to accept the reality of where that issue is coming from, and then direct it to some sort of positive focus.
So
that is really reflected in the conversation that we just had. Someone with a little bit more mental health knowledge and experience might be able to extrapolate some thoughts a bit further and provide a bit more value. So we'll definitely get someone on who.
I've got a couple of people in mind.
Yeah, cool. Awesome.
Are we going to plug our live Peak Speak experience? We should. Can we please exclusively refer to it as a call-in show?
Yes. So Peak and Call Girls, call-in show. sorry.
Man, we would get so many more downloads.
Peak Speak. Yeah, call-in show. Friday, the something of something.
Friday, it'll be the 10th?
10th of April. 2020.
Yep. 2020 because this, vision. In theory, should come out on Monday. Oh, that's Good Friday.
Yeah. It'll be the best Friday if we are
the best Friday. Good.
So like we'll go live. We're going to record as usual. We'll put it live on Instagram because Facebook's a bag of dicks and won't let us do the double live thing.
Yeah, sure. Is that how we're going to do it? We'll work something out. We'll put some details out about it.
Yeah. Or I can
neither
just,
of us are very good at technology.
I have to upgrade the webinar thing, so we could just do it as a webinar.
Yeah, well, that was sort of my thought. That would make recording of audio and stuff easier. But anyway, we'll work that out.
Yeah, just pretend you're not listening to us to have our
planning meeting. that is the extent of planning that we do here at Peak Speak. Hashtag professionals.
It'll be a Q&A, so we'll put some stuff on Instagram and get some questions going, and then you can ask more questions live.
Mad. Sounds good. All right.
Sick.
Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Wash your hands.
Yes, and blow your nose. I'm a grub, so I don't really bode well.
This is why Thomas isn't allowed to leave his house.
I can bath and sanitizer.
Goodbye. All
right. See you.